First of all, a relatively new position for yourself with responsibility for motorsport. So just to start with, how are you finding the role? What have been the big challenges, I guess, so far?
Well, when you walk into a department that is really in the last stages of preparing for one of the biggest, fastest, most exciting events of the in the world, it's difficult for those guys to be able to sort of step aside and say hello and here's your introduction. But they have been so welcoming. Lots of people actually on the Isle of Man have got in touch with me who are involved in lots of different motorsport events, and they've all been in touch with me to try to encourage me to come along to listen to what they're up to and what their challenges are, what they face within their sport. So it's been very exciting, a big learning curve. Although I'm new to the department, I'm not new to motorsport. Motorsport's been in my family for a long time, and it's something I've been very interested in and took a very keen interest in. So it's not new to me completely, but now being a delegated member for the motorsport division on the island is a huge responsibility, especially when we have such a lot riding on it.
And like you say, that with something like the Isle of Man TT race or road racing on the Isle of Man in general, those are involved around it are extremely passionate and dedicated to what they do. So how important is it for you to try and fit in and fully understand what's going on within that community?
Part of the strategy for motorsport is empowering people, and we are so lucky on the Isle of Man that we have such a loyal fan base and passionate fan base as well, who are very keen to share their ideas about how to improve the event, how to ensure that we keep the heritage of the culture of the event alive and kicking. So it's so important that we have those people, because not only do we need to grow the event to attract more visitors to the Isle of Man and more competitors to take part in these events, we also need to ensure that we keep our fan base, our loyal fan base, take them along as well with the journey, because they are the ones who've sustained the event for the amount of years that we've had it for.
And like you say, for you and your family personally, obviously sort of the road racing is something you've revolved around all your life. So even before this role, and maybe now coming into it as well, are there any things that maybe you or those you know singled out as things that maybe this is how we could improve things like the TT and the Manx Grand Prix and say racing at Balan?
Yeah, there has been a lot of challenges over the years and lots of changes. I think people maybe find that difficult sometimes. They would like to keep it how it was before. But essentially, the road race is how it's always been. It's a 37¾-mile track. We get those motorbikes on the start line and they set off down Glen Country Road, and they're doing a fantastic job at racing. It's the bits behind the scenes, the strategic vision, I think, which sometimes feels a little bit alien to people, because it feels like that's maybe taking away from the event. But to me, the event is those motorbikes on that start line, and they're flying down the road, and they are doing an absolutely fantastic job at promoting the island, and also giving the spectators what they've come to see, which is the most thrilling road race in the world.
So in terms of what you say there about change maybe feeling alien to some, though, but of course you want to preserve that loyal fan base that's there, as well as attracting others in. So how careful do the likes of yourselves and the DfE have to be that you make sure that you don't alienate those who've been following it for years, if not decades, you know, at the their expense to bring other fans in?
Yeah, so the DfE as race promoter has a job to, we're tasked to promote the event to raise revenue, and that revenue is then put back into the general economy of the Isle of Man. So we all benefit from the TT race and the economic benefit that it brings to the Isle of Man. So although some may feel that the strategic vision sometimes feel like it's very commercial, I can probably agree with that. That does feel like that, but we have to do that to be able to sustain the event and secure it. But what's more important to me is that we bring the people with us, that everybody's involved. I was struck when I was looking through the programme for the TT for this year. At the back page, it talks about the officials and who's involved in the race. Now, that's a huge amount of people across the island who are involved in putting this event on. And without them, this event wouldn't be as successful as it is. So although we can have our strategic vision, and that's very important to grow revenue, to get more sponsorship, to get more licensing, to sustain the events and to secure it for future years, without that manpower, without those people behind it, you know, the strategic vision wouldn't work. We need to empower our people, and that's what we feel like we're trying to do. And, you know, I'm very grateful, and just want to make that point that without those officials and without your cleaners, your security guards, your car parking attendants, all these people, all the people who put on the teas and coffees, without those people, the event wouldn't be as successful as it is.
And like you say, with those, for example, like volunteers, obviously you speak of maybe some of the staff, the likes of the marshals, for etc. You mentioned obviously the value that they have and the important role that they play, but how do you make sure that you keep them happy and that they get enough out of it as well as, you know, those behind it, the DfE and other members, other sponsors, other members, whoever it may be?
I think this kind of goes back to when the consultations over the schedule were discussed, and I think people were involved in that, and it felt very much like at the time it was being done to people. I think now, a couple of years on, hopefully we'll start to see the benefit of how the schedule's been changed to try and encourage more visitors to be on the island. We're trying to increase the amount of people that we can have over a longer period of time. So I can see how that will then help, hopefully, the cafes, the restaurants, the people who are trying to grow, who use TT to be able to support them throughout the rest of the year. Hopefully this new schedule, we'll start to see the benefit of that, and it'll actually do what it said it was going to try to do, which was to grow the amount of people who can actually be on the island at one time. We do reach capacity. There's only so many people that you can actually get here and to house on the island during TT. So by spreading the event over to have two long weekends, the idea is to hopefully have more people on the island to that economic benefit can be felt for longer.
Speaking of the schedule, when it was first introduced for 2023, there were actually some concerns from quite a lot of fans out there about, is there enough leeway to move around in case there's any form of disruption to the schedule, weather or otherwise? Residents, some had concerns about the fact that this is more road closures, this is more inconvenience to my day. What would you say to those who are maybe sceptical or critical about the new schedule?
I'd like to just hope that people can see why we're doing this, what the vision is, what the strategic vision is, why they decided to do that, make that decision. You know, I'm new into role, so now I'll be part of the team this year that will look back at the data and look about what's happened. Has that worked? Has the desired outcome been achieved? And if it hasn't, then what can we do to ensure that those people feel that they are being listened to and that their feedback is... That feedback for me is really important. We need to, like I said before, the strategic vision is nothing if we don't have the people behind it supporting the event. We need to have those people who feel they are being listened to, and that's really important to me. So back to your question, does it work? I'll be able to find out, and I'll be able to report back to you hopefully after this year's event about the numbers and how hopefully I can report back to you that they've grown. Early indication is that it is looking like it's going to be a really successful TT for 2024, but I'd be very happy to come back and talk to you afterwards.
You just sort of, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you sort of alluded to the fact before that some people might have felt that it was almost forced upon them, this new schedule. So if there is a situation whereby, whether it's this year or next, that there doesn't seem to be the right feeling towards it, do you think there is actually a situation where the likes of the DfE, the motorsport team, could actually look at it and change it again if it really isn't sitting well with the fans and the residents?
Numbers at the moment show that it is working and that the plan is having the desired outcomes. Obviously, as we have the data from the end of this event, it's going to be one of those watch and wait kind of operations, I think, to see how things are. As I sit here today, the numbers are looking good. That we've got a far bigger increase in the numbers as well who are following us on social media. And one of the things that I would like to impart as well, that we have this TT Plus Live Pass, and a part of that actually shows that 49% of people are more likely to now visit the Isle of Man because of what they've seen on these social media platforms. So that is hopefully going to grow those numbers to come to the island, and by having the offering that we have with the schedule, hopefully those people that will be able to be accommodated. There's no use growing your numbers and having nowhere to put people when they get here. By making the event separate over the making two longer weekends, hopefully that will then give those people the opportunity to be able to get here first on the boat and then to be able to find the accommodation that meets their needs.
In terms of bringing over here, like you say, that there could be those who are maybe inspired to come over when they've watched it remotely and watched it online, but one of the things that seems to continue to be a theme among certain people is the cost of actually coming here. There are many who accept the demand on travel and accommodation when they look to travel to the island, but the cost in quite a few cases sometimes, people are having to spend hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of pounds, on combined travel and accommodation. Is there any way, do you think, that it could become more cost effective for fans to come over and not be put off by some of the prices that they may incur in travel and accommodation?
So this is the first year that we have the Manxman, which obviously has a higher capacity. So hopefully more travellers can travel via the Manxman, and that will reduce the outgoing cost for those people, because you would like to think that the cost may be able to be absorbed easily. One of the things that we have from the most recent survey was that 70% of people did cite issues with travel as a reason why they didn't come to the island for the TT races. Only 35% of that related to the cost. So although that number is significant still, there is still people who will still come here despite the cost, because when they do get here, you have an offering where you can either go to an expensive restaurant or a medium restaurant, or you can go to a burger van. There's lots of different options for you when you get here to be able to how you spend your money when you arrive. So yeah, the cost of getting here is an issue. One of the biggest issues that we do have, like I said before, is that schedule and people being able to book far enough in advance. That's something that I really want to work with the Steam Packer on. Now as DfE member, I'm also on the visit agency board, so I now have a closer direct link to the Steam Packer board. So I will hopefully be able to use that that opportunity to be able to work on what we can do to provide better breaks for people, so that people can come over to the island, even if it's just for the day. What can we do with the Steam Packer to offer those packages to be able to get people to come here and to enjoy our world-class event?
And particularly at this time of year, we've got the Northwest 200 taking place this week. There will be those who have occasionally in the past and may try to this year travel directly from there to bring all their equipment and everything over for TT if they're competitors, for example. There has been changes in recent times to the likes of, let's say, the ferry services between the Isle of Man and Belfast and Dublin. Where do you stand with the changes there and what it could mean for the likes of competitors?
Obviously, we need our competitors to be able to get to the island to be able to compete. If what they have now is not working for them, then obviously that's invaluable feedback that needs to be fed to the Steam Packet, which obviously I'm planning to do.
And when we talk about, again, financial viability, just a very general question, actually. Obviously, the TT is a major income source and has been for many, many years, as many people know, for the Isle of Man over the years. But with the cost of living going up and costs in certain areas to hold the event going up, just how financially viable is the TT in this day and age?
Great question. As you can appreciate, it does cost a lot of money to put the event on. The amount of money that is generated in revenue as income is then reinvested into the event. So safety improvements, how can we ensure that the race is secure for the future, the sustainability of the event. So it's very important that we work together to be able to get this event on the start line, on the road. It's not something that we take lightly. You know, there's a serious amount of work that goes in by the race organisers, by the officials that I mentioned before. As the DfE is the race promoter, we have our obligation, we are tasked to bring the people to the island, and then we hope that then generates the income that we need to be able to sustain the event. But the economic benefit to the island for having the TT race can't be underestimated. In 2023, £36 million was generated from 43,000 visitors. We want to grow those visitors by 6,000 this year. That's a task for the DfE, for the visit agency, to be able to bring those people to the island. The TT race, without those people, is going to be able, it's going to feel like it needs those people to be able to come here, to be able to give that whole economic benefit and that's what will sustain the event into the future.
I suppose the crux of what I'm getting at really is, even if you can't quote a specific number to me right now, is the event making a profit? Is it making a loss? Is it breaking even?
I think it's not fair to look at the event solely in itself, by itself, because really it's not just about the event that you put on. It's not about just those two wheels that are flying down Glen Country Road. It's about everything that goes around it. It's the income that's generated on the island for local businesses, because we obviously have to task businesses to help support the event. We have the income that's generated from people coming to the Isle of Man. So there's a wider economic benefit than just putting on the race. So I think we need to obviously look at it in the round and not maybe look at the event specifically. What the event costs to put on is going to increase when it comes to insurance, the other costs that are associated with putting on a world-class event like we have. However, the economic benefit for the Isle of Man far outweighs any cost for putting on the event.
And when we're talking about events around it, for example, there is a lot around the Isle of Man TT, but particularly these days, in fact, that is very centred around the grandstand, centred around Douglas, a lot of events going on. But with the changing schedule, the increased racing schedule and other things besides, there may be those in other towns across the Isle of Man who may be concerned that in previous years they will have had a bit more of a benefit. People would have had a chance to go and visit, maybe spend time in the likes of Peel, Castletown, Port St Mary, Ramsey, though they won't get to do that, particularly with how busy the schedule is now. We've seen the change, for example, to what was known as Mad Sunday as well. That is now a race day. What more can be done, do you think, to see the Isle of Man TT, and as it stands right now, benefit more towns outside Douglas?
We're always keen to listen to the feedback from people. I've got meetings this week lined up to go and talk to different commissioners across the island to see how they can actually benefit and to try and bring people to their town. So that is part of what I do as well. I'm not just talking about what happens at the grandstand. I'm talking to other people across the island to find out how they can also attract people to their town, what they can do to put on events to be able to support people. Ultimately, we need people to come to the grandstand because we have support for the businesses that have their pictures there. But there is also an appreciation that this is an event that can and does support the other island, other areas across the island, and that's also very important.
And just on from that, the fact that you, like say, you're going to speak with local authorities in different areas, but how do you make sure that you not just get it across the authorities, but the people in those particular areas, that their suggestions, maybe around the likes of the TT for their town, their parish, however you want to look at it, are being listened to, and that it isn't potentially being interpreted as a bit of a box ticking exercise?
Like I said before, we have a very loyal fan base, very passionate fan base who are very keen to ensure that their ideas are heard. And I've only been in the post 6 weeks and they have got in touch with me. I've been in contact with lots of different people already about what they feel the event needs, what it's lacking, what the challenges could be in the future if we don't address some of these problems. And I'm really keen to listen to those things. Those get fed back into the motorsport division. And after the event, I'm told that we all meet together and we obviously have a debrief about what's being said. So this is my first TT in an official capacity. So I can't wait to see actually what happens. And I'm very keen to ensure that what I've been told and the feedback that I've been given is fed back into the system. But ultimately, we do put on a very world-class event. People really enjoy the TT, whether you're local or whether you're a visitor. And if you don't enjoy the TT, you may benefit from the homestay offering and you enjoy your holiday wherever you may go. But ultimately, the TT is imperative that we get it right. It's our heritage. It's part of our culture. The Isle of Man TT races is something that we should be incredibly proud of. I'm incredibly proud to be part of it in this capacity. But I'm also aware that it's not just a one-person job here. This is a whole island, really, that comes together to be able to put this event on. And without those people, the event just wouldn't be as successful as it is. So I want to impart, again, my thanks to those people for the hours, the countless hours of volunteers that put their time and effort into this event, because without them, really, we wouldn't have the world-class event that we are so proud of.
In terms of the potential wider benefits from the TT, you've mentioned on a couple of occasions about outside of it, it's about benefiting local businesses, benefiting residents and fans, of course, but also maybe it could drive something else in terms of, you mentioned, homestay there or something like that. Do you think the TT does a job well enough within what it is to maybe drive a little more tourism outside of the TT for the island and promote the island a bit more in different ways?
So with my visit hat on, we've obviously just launched the Who Is It campaign, which it basically is looking to say, look, when you come to the Isle of Man TT races, obviously enjoy the spectacular event that it is, but why not extend your stay? Why not stay a little bit longer or come a bit sooner before the event and just see the island? I mean, today I'm doing this interview, it's very misty outside of your window, but we have a beautiful island with fantastic attractions that many people across the UK and further afield would never have seen. We are lucky on the Isle of Man that you can be in the sea, in the plantation within a 5-minute drive. You know, we have fantastic facilities on the Isle of Man to be able to go and visit. They can always be improved, and that's where those improvements will come from, that increased revenue. So my word to the residents is thank you for your patience. Thank you for being so tolerant of all the different visitors that come to the Isle of Man, because, you know, it does take longer to get places. It does inconvenience people, especially if you don't follow the TT. Not everybody is a TT fan, but the economic benefit from putting this event on is gives far more benefits. Like I said, by those people visiting these heritage attractions, that's more revenue in the pot for the maintenance to improve things. By looking after what we've got, because the visitors come to the Isle of Man, it does improve the facilities for locals. And so I would just want to impart my thanks to those people who do, you know, tolerate all the extra visitors, because as a department, I'm well aware that our mission as race promoters is to drive visitors, drive that economy, drive that revenue, try to get people to the island. And I can appreciate how some people may feel like, you know, it's nice to have, but we're also very glad when people leave again. But they leave with those great experiences and hopefully come back again if the following TT or to any other motorsport events that we have on the island, because we have a great calendar of events throughout the whole year. And actually, if you visit the Visit Isle of Man website, we do try to share and promote those different events that are happening on throughout the year. So please, if you do know anybody, if you've got people coming to stay with you, please direct them to the Visit Isle of Man website, because then they can see actually the breadth of hospitality, the businesses across the island that will obviously benefit from them visiting also.
Just two more questions very quickly. So first of all, in terms of some of the facilities, one thing that's been a huge source of debate for the last couple of years is the TT scoreboard over at the grandstand. Of course, it's been something that's occupied people's minds. You know, when is it coming, this proposed scoreboard that we're going to have? There has of course been temporary solutions in place for the last couple of years, so what is your understanding of that situation as it stands?
The scoreboard situation has been ongoing since 2018, I believe, and so we are at a situation where it feels like we're in a bit of a stalemate. We're not too sure where to go with it. I've kind of walked in 6 weeks ago, and one of the first things I picked up was what we're going to do about the scoreboards. It's essential to me that we get a plan in place, we get funding in place, and hopefully get something in place for as soon as possible, to be honest. But I don't know when that's going to happen, because it all depends with the governance and the Treasury concurrence that you require. But no, that is definitely something that I've picked up on. The heritage of the Isle of Man TT is what makes the TT so unique, and the scoreboard is part of that. Things have moved on in risk assessments and what we need to what is required for the safety side of things. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't get some sort of more permanent installation in place. The word temporary really jars with me. I don't like that, having a temporary solution. It feels a disjustice to the people who've spent so many years, decades to the TT, that we still have a temporary solution. That needs to be resolved, and I made that one of my top priorities for this year, to get some sort of resolution in place.
And just very quickly, we've only got 2 minutes here, but with all that we've just spoken about, you've spoken a lot about the economic benefit you feel the TT still brings to the Isle of Man. How important is it, though, that the likes of the DfE and those involved make sure that the economic benefit doesn't put aside the tangible, unique fan experience, that it doesn't start to feel, to coin a phrase, too corporate for the fans who enjoy it from a purist, from a racing perspective? How important is it that, yes, you find that it's economically viable, but also that the fans still get the racing experience that they want and know?
I think when you sit on the wall at Sulby Street and that bike flies past you, there's nothing that we can do that will ever take that feeling away from you, that roar of the bike that flies past you, and you think, wow, this is what I'm here for. What we do in the background with the strategic vision really is about just growing the event. But the race, the ultimate, the experience for those people, why they come back and why they are so loyal to the event, is because that feel, that adrenaline that you get from watching those races, those competitors on that track, doing what they love and providing the greatest show, the greatest race in the world, is what attracts people to the island. And there's nothing that the department can do to take that away, because really that's that feeling that people get, that's the tangible thing. What do we do to ensure that people feel that they're being listened to, how they feel that the heritage component is conserved? Well, that's what I've just mentioned to you about the scoreboard. That's part of it. The scouts, talking to the scouts and trying to ensure that they feel that they are also a part of the future planning of the event, because like I said, it's about empowering our people. The back of that program lists all the officials on the Isle of Man who are part of this event. Without those people, without the people who are car park attendants, the medics, the security, all those people are what makes the event successful as it is. And without those people, then a strategic vision would mean nothing. We need those people on the island to empower this event and to grow our brand.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.